Az arkadaşımız abi Murray Jakob Gilchrist. Pilkas az arkadaşımız Daniel Shane of Shoe. Okay, first of all, good year to everybody. A good winter. We should all be gesund and be able to continue learning Bitoch Simcha, Brius, and Harchovas Hadas. This week's Parshas Noach, has an interesting halacha. That's really halacha for B'nai Noach. That the Torah tells us in Bereishis Parakhes, Pasuk Chavbeis, Od Kol Yimei Zera, Vekotzir, Vekor, Vachom, Vekaitz, Vachorif, V'yom, V'laila, Lo Yishbosu. And the Gemara says in Sanhedrin from this Gemara that a Goy Sheshovas is Chayiv Misa. That a goy that keeps Shabbos is chayiv misa. So this is a very interesting halacha. The goy that Shabbos is chayiv misa because Shabbos is bein yuvein b'nei Yisrael. It's only for Yidden, and a goy that Shabbos is chayiv misa. So a goy is not allowed to keep Shabbos. Yom v'layla lo yishbosu. So there are a lot of interesting things that come up as a result of this thing of the Goy Shoshovas is Chayiv Misa. First, let's speak historically. There was a very interesting story that happened in Yerushalayim, in Pafresh Ches. I'm looking and reading now Sefer Teres Yaakov, Rav David Gottlieb from Eretz Yisrael. So the story happened in Yerushalayim, and Rav Shmuel Salant was the Rav of Yerushalayim. He was a Choshev Rav. If I'm not mistaken, he was the first one to introduce the concept of a day and a half. It's a very confusing lashon. A day and a half means that people who come live in America or Chutzlarts, they come to Eretz Yisrael, Yom Tov Sheni. So there's a question: should they keep 2 days? Should they just keep 1 day? Well, there's another sheet: a day and a half. What does a day and a half mean? A day and a half means that the first day you keep regular Yom Tov, and the second day you daven Shulchol, but you don't do Melacha. That's why it has the phraseology a day and a half. It's very a little bit strange Lashon. With certain things you ever see in the modern world, unfortunately, there's some kids that are a little bit they go off and they keep half Shabbos. You ever hear that phrase? What does that mean? That they text. They keep Shabbos, but they text. They keep half Shabbos. That's another phraseology which makes no sense. They keep half Shabbos. So a day and a half. But this came, I think, believe from Rav Shmuel Salant, this idea of keeping the first day and then full, and the second day not to do Malacha. And there was some Rabbanim who were into that sheet. Okay, but that's a separate discussion. Rav Shmuel Salant was the Rav Yerushalayim, and he went to, as Rabbi Gottlieb writes in the Sefer Teres Yaakov, to Chutz La'aretz, and they had a substitute rabbi, right? Shaka pointed out Rav Hagon Rav Asher Lemel. He was the substitute. We have a substitute rabbi. You hope everything is uneventful. But sure enough, there was a big shaila that came up while Rav Asher Lemel was serving as the rabbi of Yerushalayim when Rav Shmuel Salant went to Chutz La'aretz. There was a ger that was converting, and he had the milah. He had the Mila, but he now first gets a Mila, so you don't necessarily do the Tevila right away because it has to heal, right? The bris Mila has to heal, and then you could do the Tevila. So the question, and this is a big discussion in the poskim, is what is his halachic status between the Mila and the Tevila? So the simple shot is, l'chora, that until he goes to the mikveh, he's still mamash goy gomer, right? And therefore, he shouldn't be keeping Shabbos. There are some poskim that said no, that once you started the process, then already it has some halachic status that he can maybe even keep Shabbos. So that's a big question. In other words, the Shabbos or Shabbosim in between the Mila and the Tevila, should he keep or Dafka not keep? Because he's a guy. So what happened was that he was about to he was keep this Ger was keeping Shabbos, under the tenure of Rav Asher Lemuel, and then he found out about it, and he said no. Right away, he should be Mechal Shabbos before it's too late. You gotta be Mechal Shabbos or else it's a Goy Shabbos. Right? So the, as Rabbi Gottlieb quotes here, it says, Maisa Shoy Gottlieb writes in Sefer Teres Yaakov that he wrote his name between, Mincha Maariv. Towards the end of Shabbos, he got it in. One Chil Shabbos, he got it in, and so that was. And then everyone obviously heard about this, since Rabbi Gottlieb was writing here, and then it became a whole big discussion: was it right to do that, or Dafka was not right to do that? In other words, what's the status of the guy that started the process? Not starting the process doesn't just mean you were learning. Tutored, being tutored for, it means that there was already a Mila L'shem Geirus, so that has a chalos. But the Tevila was, so is that enough to at least be able to keep Shabbos? Well, no, you're still a goy until you go to the mikveh. And that was a whole big discussion. Well, so. There is a what to do in such a so there's a discussion in the poskim also about concept of a goyshe sheshovas. We know that the Chazal tell us that the Ovos kept Kol HaTorah Kula before it was given. Right, Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, they kept all the Torah. They were able to intuit the mitzvahs haTorah even before we got the Torah. They kept it beforehand. So the question that the Haflah, the Parim Yafos, raises is how could there's a whole machlokas in the poskim whether the Ovos before Matan Torah had a din of Jews or a din of Bnei Noach. So the question is, if you hold they have a din of Bnei Noach, so then how did they keep the Torah before it was given? How did they keep the Torah before it was given? If you say they had a din of Bnei Noach, a goy shechovas is chayiv misa, so. Then how did they keep the Torah before the Torah was given? And that's the because Avraham Avinu kept the Torah, but it maybe he only had a din of Bnei Noach, and Shavas is Chayav Misa. So this is a question that's discussed. The Parim Yafos gives the answer in the Sefer Cheshek Shlomo, so one of the answers is that we know for Goyim, for Jews, the way they count the day is the night is first and then the day. But for Goyim, it's the day and then the following night. So when a Goy Sheshavas is Chayiv Misa, it means that he would keep Shabbos day and Motzai Shabbos. He wouldn't do Malach. That would be what Shabbos would have been for him, and he can't keep that. But when Amram Avinu kept Shabbos, he kept Friday night and Shabbos ready Motzai Shabbos. He was doing Malacha, so therefore that wouldn't be an issue of Goy Sheshavas, because Ben that Goy Sheshavas Chag Mis is based on the day of the Ben Noach, and therefore if you would do Malacha Motzai Shabbos, like most people are doing Malacha Motzai Shabbos, then it wouldn't be a problem. Well, but there's another teretz that's given that they quote in the Sefer Chesed Shlomo from the Chasam Sofer. I didn't see it exactly in the Sefer, but it's known from the Chasam Sofer. And this is the and it's I'm learning this year tzitzis with my Talmidim of the tzitzis, and my friend Rav Moshe Shapiro said in this week's parsha also we have the story of Noah getting shikur and his son covers him up, right? And Rashi writes in the Parak Gimel that they covered him up. Shame, and therefore Klal Yisrael was zocher for the talis shel tzitzis because of covering up the father's erva. So we do, as Rav Moshe Shapiro, my friend, said, we have mention of tzitzis in this week's parsha as well. So this is the Eitzah. What do you do? Sorry, and what did the Ovos do, and how did it solve the problem? So one answer we said the difference between the Laila and Yom Lo Laila. So listen to this answer, and this is known as the Chasam Sofer's answer. And this maybe could have solved, as I mentioned others, that this could have maybe solved also the issue of of that gear, what to do in the Shabbos in between. You know what you tell him to do? Tell him to wear, go in the street with tzitzis on. Go in the street with tzitzis on. Why? What do you gain by that? So, like this, we know that there's an issue, one of the Lama Tesmalochas is Hotzah, right? A very bad translation that we use in modern day of Hotzah is carry, not I'll carry in Shabbos. That's a terrible translation of Hotzah, because then people come up with all these ideas. Oh, I'm pinning it just on my, I'm not carrying. But that's not, Hotzah doesn't mean to carry. Oh, I'm taking a baby stroller out. No, carrying means to carry. Carrying is not the translation of Hotzah. Hotzanach doesn't mean you bring something from the Rishus HaYachin into the Rishus HaRabim or vice versa. Whether technically it's carrying is not the, that's why so many people make so many mistakes with this false translation. Now, those that know use it because it's just a convenient way of expressing this idea. But, carrying is not the, just because you, if you would take a key and just pin it on your lapel, and it's serving no function, that would be Hotzah. That would be Hotzah. It might maybe only be the Rabbanon because you're doing it with the Shinoi, but that's not, even though technically says, I carry. Oh, so the idea is that a person, when he's wearing his tzitzis, so really the strings should be Hotzah. Because the beged is the beged that warms you up. That's the beged, right? But what is the strings? The strings is a mitzvah. So since it's a mitzvah, it becomes part of the beged. But if it's not a mitzvah, then what? It's not part of the beged. So then it's just hotzah, quote, carrying, but not, in a poor sense of the word. So if you get somebody who we're not sure if he's a Jew, we're not sure he's a goy. So if he's a Jew, he has to keep Shabbos. If he's a goy, he's davka not. He can't keep Shabbos. So tell him to wear tzitzis, and probably this ger, I assume if he's already got bris milah and he's already so close to converting, so he's already wearing lat tzitzis. So he goes into the street, so like this. So Alatzad that he's a yid, or like the avos, if they were yidden, Alatzad the yid, avos were yidden, so they did a mitzvah. So they did a mitzvah. So then the tzitzis is what? It's part of the beged. So it's okay. But if the avos were b'nei Noach, then b'nei Noach doesn't have the mitzvah of tzitzis. So then it's hotzah. So maybe you were mechal Shabbos. So great. That's what we want. We want you to be Michal Shabbos if you're not a yid. And if you do that, that would be solved. That's what the Chasam Sofer is known to have said. It's quoted in the Sefer Cheshek Shlomo, is known to said that that could be a good answer to solve this issue. Now, it's not so simple that this answer is agreed upon by all. So let me ask you the following question. And it's a question that we don't normally think about. And that is like this. When you, to Bez Hashem, you're going to go home, you walk home from shul tonight after davening. So you're going to wear what? Your talis cotton is going to be underneath your shirt, right? Now, there's big machlokas between the Rambam and the Rosh. The Rambam Shita is that tzitzis is yechayv in the day, and at night you potter. That's the Rambam Shita. It all depends on day versus night. The Rosh Hashita is, no, it depends upon the type of garment. If it's a day garment that you normally wear in the daytime, so even if you wear it at night, it's still chayv. A beged yom is chayvin balayla, and a beged layla, like your pajamas, if you're wearing it during the day, it would be potter. It's not totally on day and night. It's totally on beged yom versus beged layla. And the Rambam says no. The Rambam says no. That once it's night, then even if it's a beged yom, you're potter. So, in the Tshuvas Harif, at least in the Shoyl, there was a suggestion made. Listen to this suggestion. That what's the heter according to the Rambam? To go ahead and what? And go tonight. You're going home from shul, right? And you're wearing your what? Your beged. So if you use the Eruv, so you use the Eruv, so then, but let's assume that no Eruv, you don't use the Eruv. What's the heter? Aren't you doing chutzah on the tzitzis? Because there's no mitzvah allowed. So in the Tshuvas Harif, at least the Shoyl, suggested that in a Hanami, that before you go out of shul, you have to take off your tzitzis. You have to take off your tzitzis. Now, right, we'll see. I mean, if you're using the Erev anyway, then you're using the Erev anyway, so then it's not a problem. It's for the people who, because according to the Chasam Sofer, the vort is that if you're not doing the mitzvah, so then it's also. So it's interesting that the Rambam himself speaks about this in Perek Yud Tes Hilchos Shabbos Halacha Chof, and he says no, that even if you're not doing the mitzvah, you still do not violate Chatzah, because it's still, you know what it's like? It's like the fringes of a beged. You have like a scarf, you have fringes on the. So this is like fringes. It's a chiddush because that's a, the Rambam himself says that. That's what they point out. The Rambam himself, who says the whole question is only according to the Rambam. And the Rambam himself, who says that there's no mitzvah at night. He himself says you can wear the tzitzis even at night because it's minoy habeged even when you're not doing the mitzvah. So if you say like this Rambam, then the Chasam Sofer falls away because then even if you would not, even if you're a potential, you know, we're not sure if you're Jewish or not Jewish, or you know, you're malvo tovo, it still might not be carrying, even if you're not doing the mitzvah, because lemaisa it still might be considered the fringes of the bag. But the Chasam Sofer was assuming not that way. The Chasam Sofer, this Chasam Sofer quoted in the Shut Pesach Shlomo, was assuming that if you're not doing the mitzvah, then you can't go out in the street. So I was wondering, how come no one is machmir for this? You ever hear of somebody who's make sure to take off his tzitzis before he goes in the street at night? Because why allow him on tzitzis? Never heard of such a thing. So I have a good shot. Why not? He said, who would be machmir for such a thing? A good brisker, you know? A good brisker would be machmir for such a thing. But a real brisker doesn't wear tzitzis on Shabbos anyway in the street, even in the daytime. Why? Because since there's a machlokas in the Gemara that if you have lovan and you don't have tchelas, whether you still get a mitzvah of lovan. So we assume yes, but the one opinion says not, and Balamor paskins that tchelas is ma'akev is halovan. So a real good brisker would never wear tzitzis in the street on Shabbos day. So the only people that we've been mocking are the briskers anyway. So the briskers aren't even wearing it in the daytime. So therefore, who's going to be a person that's going to not wear it at night? Dafke at night is only them, but they won't even wear it in the day. So that was my pshat and why we don't find anyone who's just machmir to take off the tzitzis tonight. But I think it's a good shaila. It's a good shaila on this whole thing. So that's the discussion here of the tchelis, etc. Well, so let's now a little bit of P. Derech HaDrush. There is a sefer called Pardes Yosef. It was written by Rav Yosef Patsanovsky. Hard to pronounce. Yosef, it's a classic sefer. Okay, if you don't have it, it's a classic sefer called Pardes Yosef. And the sefer Pardes Yosef is written only on Bereishis, Shmos, and Vayikra. It's interesting how some people, like we have the Beis HaLevi, right? Now we're holding by Bereishis, Shmos, right? So now the time, those that like to learn Beis HaLevi, this is the season. Because after Shmos, we don't have it anymore. The different shittas, whether it got lost or he wasn't, you know, there was a period of life he wasn't feeling so well, so he couldn't concentrate on the deep Gemara. So he's learning Chumash, and then by when the Shmos ended, he felt better, so he went back to learning the Gemara. But like we only have the Beis HaLevi on Chumash, only in Bereishis and Shmos. And this Pardes Yosef was a businessman. It goes to, like some point out, it goes to show you, there were some Gedolei Yisrael that they were not Rabbanim, that they weren't were practicing rabbis. They were Gedolim just as much, if not more, than other Gedolim, but they made their parnassah from, you know, business, and then, but they were still, I'll give you an example, the Beis Ephraim, Ephraim Zalman Margolius. He wrote the Mateh Ephraim, Beis Ephraim. He was the one who, those that do use Erevin, so he's one of the people they have to thank because he came out for Erevin in the big cities, permitting it. And the Mishkanos Yaakov was his bar plukta. Mishkanos Yaakov was a rabbinic figure. The Beis Ephraim, you know, was a big was considered one of the Gedolei Achronim. He wasn't so. That's an interesting thing. Parenthetically, I'll tell you something. Or Lazer Katzman told me once that when Rav Kook got his first rabbinic position in Russia. So his father, the Aderis, he said, wants to give his son-in-law some unsolicited advice. You know, every father-in-law sometimes likes to give unsolicited advice to his son-in-law. So he said, if you want to be successful in your rabbinate, you know what you should do? You should make an Erev in the community. And Rav Kook said, I follow the Mishkanos Yaakov, and I won't make an Erev here. Mishkanos Yaakov said, any city, public roads, you can't make an Erev. It's interesting. Those people view Rav Kook, you know, he was a tremendous Ohr Yisrael, but he wasn't such a Makel. Rav Kook was a very big Machmir. In fact, I'll tell you another interesting thing. Rabbi Eliyahu Baruch Shulman once said over that Rav Kook was against teaching kids Sfaradit. He said, you're Ashkenazi, you should be learning Hebrew in Ashkenazis, not Sfaradit. And Rav Shulman pointed out that Rav Kook would pay the Malamdim extra if they would teach the kids Ashkenazis and not Sfaradit. You think, oh, Rav Kook, he's the Zionist, you know. People have misconceptions of people they never met and never knew, and they just put them in a box where they think they belong, and that's it. Okay. But in the Paradis Yosef, he explains, he quotes, as Moshe Shapiro pointed out, from the Divrei Shaul, from the Shaul HaMeshiv, Yosef Shaul Nachlanger. And he says a very interesting pshat. Now, what's this idea that a goy can't keep Shabbos? What's wrong? Why we have to? Goy can't keep Shabbos. So he says, based on a Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. The Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos, "Yafet Talmud Torah im derech Eretz, sheyegias shneihem mashkachas ovum." That it's good to have Talmud Torah together with derech Eretz means that it doesn't mean the simple pshat derech Eretz good midos. That's true also, but it means malacha, have a parnas, have a job, do things. Why? He said, because derech sheyegias shneihem mashkachas ovum. Because if you're gonna preoccupy yourself in Torah and in malacha, so then that's healthy. Then you won't be idle. And if a person's idle, that could cause him to violate. Because if you have too much time on your hands, that's not healthy, and then your mind can take you places, and you can do things that. So Yafet Talmud Torah and Derech Eretz. If you have Talmud Torah and Derech Eretz between the two of them, you'll be covered, and you won't. So that's how the Mefarshim explained that Mishnah. Yafet Talmud Torah and Derech Eretz. So I quote you from the Pardes Yosef quoting the Divrei Shaul. Ben Noach she'enu mutzuvel Talmud Torah. A guy is not to learn Torah. For Osulo Lilmot. So he's not allowed to learn Torah. Uvazayin mitzvahs mechuyev, and like my friend Rav Moshe Shapiro explained to me, and he has averus that he's not allowed to commit, right? So he does have chovos. Hitila Torah lov iser lishpos. Because, you see, a Jew will always be preoccupied. So part of the week he'll be working, part of the week he'll be learning. He's always covered. He's always covered. But a guy, if he's going to keep Shabbos and he doesn't have a mitzvah of Talmud Torah, so there's going to be part of the week, there's going to be part of the week that he's going to what? That he's going to be idle. And being idle is a very dangerous thing. Kachitila Torah love Yisr Lishbos. Lavot kdeisha lo yaseh ovam. That's how he explains that for the goyim who don't have Talmud Torah, then for them we want them to be able to work all 7 days, because a person's idol is very precarious, and he quotes the Pardes Yosef that he quotes this vort again in Parshas Vayechi when Yaakov Avinu. When Yaakov Avinu passed away, so the pasuk says, "Lama parshas ustuma kevesh nifter Yaakov Nistavu einem Levim shel Yisrael mitzaras hashibud. In other words, when Yaakov Avinu passed away, then the shibud took place even in a more severe way. Right? That's what Rashi says in the beginning of Vayichi. Lama parshas ustuma. Right? As Rav Shechter pointed out, it doesn't mean parshas took. Please, it's not, as Rav Shechter pointed out, it's regular, usually between one parsha and the other. There are nine, she have nine osios between the two. And here, you don't have that space. So why? Because, when Yaakov Avinu passed away, the shibud took call more. So what's the pshat? Why did the shibud be elevated once Yaakov passed away? So in the Sefer Pardes Yosef, this is in Parshas Vayichi. It says, "Zeh sheniftar Yaakov, Yaakov represented Torah, Amud HaTorah, right? Yaakov Ishtam Yosef Olam." So he says that when the hashpah of Yaakov Avinu took place, he was no longer there. Then the Torah, so to speak, that hashpah of Torah diminished. So to protect the people, they had to have a greater shibud, because again, when you're lacking, and that's what he quotes in Mishnah Pirkei Avos, "Kol ha-mekabel olav ol Torah." If you have ol Torah, then you don't have to have as much ol derech eretz, because you always have to be preoccupied. You can't be idle. You always have to be preoccupied. So if you could heighten the amount of Torah that you're learning, so then maybe the amount that you're gonna have to put into other areas could be less. And so once Yaakov Avinu died, and so the shibud was elevated, because there was a fear that the hashpah of Torah would be lacking. And once the hashpah of Torah was lacking, so then you had to elevate the old derech eretz. But a guy, that's what he says, a guy is not chayiv in Torah. There's no Talmud Torah for a guy. He's chayiv in sheva mitzvos. He has this, but there's no Talmud Torah. Imagine if there's no Talmud Torah, how much extra time there is. The Talmud Torah is something that it's a protection for us. Not only it's a tremendous mitzvah, this, but it's a protection for us. Because to be idle is very dangerous and a very terrible thing. I'll say one more thing about the Pardes Yosef. Let me explain to you. I remember, you see, Pardes Yosef, the type of sefer it is he quotes from a lot of different achronim. It's a certain style, of sefer. So one day I walked in, to the Sfarim Shtok, probably legalizing maybe in Borough Park, and I was shocked. I saw that Pardes Yosef and Bamidbar came out. Now, what does that mean? I mean, the fellow passed away a long time ago, and he only had, so is it that he found the Ksav Yad? You know that there was, for many years, there was there's still parts of the Aruch HaShulchan that we are missing. But one year, I walked into a, you never know what, you walk into a Sfarim store, what are you going to find? One year, I walked into a Sfarim store, and a new volume of the Aruch HaShulchan came out. And that was because there was a Ksav Yad that they didn't, that they were, and they found, and there was on Nedarim and Shavuos that was missing, and they printed it. So you never know what you're going to find. So I didn't know what shot in this Parshas Yosef or Midbar, and then they did Dvarim. So the answer is that it's not the real, he calls itself, there's a man in Eretz Yisrael, a big Talmud Chacham, his name is Rav David Avraham Mandelbaum. His uncle was the librarian in the YU library from 1948 to 1998. I was very close with him. I wasn't there in 40, but I was there in 98. And he writes a lot of Sfarim, especially about Polish Gedolim and of Poland. That's his thing. And what he decided to do was to write and he calls himself Pardes Yosef HaChadosh. In other words, what he's going to do is he's going to write a sefer on Bamidbar and Dvarim the same style of the Pardes Yosef, with his own things in that. And so, and then he reprinted the old Pardes Yosef of Bereishis Shmos and Vayikra, and now you could get it all as a set, of the Pardes Yosef. The only thing is, in the Sefer Bamidbar and Dvarim, he quotes a lot of Makoros from obscure Svarim. So if you don't have either the YU library or maybe Otzar HaChokhmah, it becomes like a tease. Because you say, there's a great pshat in this Sefer. And believe me, you don't have that Sefer. So it's like, it's a very, so if you have the YU library, so then everything's there, Baruch Hashem. Now they're hopefully finishing up the big library in Yerushalayim. That's going to be probably one of the biggest libraries ever, in the world. They're moving it from Hebrew U. They're going to make it. They have a new location. I think they already started transferring. But today you have these things on the computer. You have Otzar HaChokhmah and other things, so you can access these obscure svarim. But Pardes Yosef is a classic sefer. It's getting a classic sefer. So he has. So I've this. That's why the svarim writes for Shemitah, that the Shemitah year. That's why it's set aside for Torah, because since the person's not going to be working in the Shemitah year, and the way that Klal Yisrael, in those days it was an agricultural society, and that's what happened. And it's interesting that this past Sukkos was the year of Hakim, was the year of Hakim. Even though we don't have Melech Bezman, so we don't have the real Hakim, but it's the year that Motzai Mikates Shevashonim. But the Ibn Ezra says that Hakel is really last year. It's the beginning of the Shemitah. The simple pshat Miketz normally means at the end, after the Shemitah year. But the Ibn Ezra always has different pshatim, because the Ibn Ezra basically saying that the people are taking off for the year to learn. So the Melech is now giving a speech, like a Musa Shmuz, to get them ready for the year to come of learning. But we hold not that way. We hold that Hakel is the speech of the king, the reading of the Torah of the king is the year, the Sukkos after Shemitah. This past Sukkos that we just have, and the Shemish Shmuel explains, because since we've spent a year so much of Torah, so now we're ready. Now our hearts are open to be influenced by the words of the king. But the whole assumption of the Chasam Sofer and others, that the Shemitah year was a year of learning, because that's this whole idea of the Pardes Yosef, that if you're not going to work, then you better be learning, because you get shnei, or else you're going to end up getting yourself in trouble, and that's a tremendous protection. So that's why a goy sheshovas is chayiv nisa, because we want a goyim that they should always be involved in work. They should always be involved in work, and they can't keep Shabbos, because the Pardes Yosef from the Yad Shaul, from Rav Shaul, from the Shaul Meshiv of Yosef Shaul Natanson, that they don't have a Chiyuv Talmud Torah, so then they will never be able to cover their time with learning. So then they have to have always Balacha, and they can't. And Gershon Shabbos is Chayav Misa. Okay, so this is a fascinating discussion about the Gershon Shabbos Chayav Misa, and the idea of tzitzis, and the idea of otzah by tzitzis, and the idea of the case of in Yerushalayim, whether the goy malvel otavel, what should he do with the Shabbos in between? Should he keep that Shabbos or dafka mechalal that Shabbos? And that's a fascinating discussion of what you do, and the question of the avos, etc. Okay, so it's great to see you all in the new year on Tovshin Pei Gimel. You should all have a good year, a year of Simcha, Bracha, Chovas Hadas, Brios, good health. We all continue learning together, and have a good Shabbos to all.